now a co-water swim coach. I thought, right, there's over 200 bodies of water. Let's just give this a go. That night, I opened my computer and I did Google death by hypothermia. The water doesn't care what shape you are,
yeah,
or what age you are, or what ability you have. It just asks you to be there. We were motivated by cake, you know, of course. There were going to be 20 of us going to go and look for this dinosaur that was still meant to be in existence. You know, it was like, my face is here, you're talking to my tits.
Howdy folks, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to all of you that have liked, subscribed and left a review for this podcast. It is amazing and your support means everything. I also want to say thank you to everyone who has become a Patreon member. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, then just head on over. The links will be in the description. And as a member, you get exclusive content that no one else gets access to. So it's really beneficial if you love the podcast. And you want more from our guests, for every episode that is on here, there'll be a bonus episode on Patreon. And finally, don't forget to head on over to www.shewhodareswins.com and grab yourself some awesome merch. Yes, there's tons of hoodies and t-shirts. And use the code POD10 for 10% off your first order. Let's get back to the show.
Action!
Let's do this.
Welcome back to the She Who Dares Wins podcast. And today my guest is Gilly MacArthur.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on, mainly because I've been stalking your Instagram. But before we get into that,
stalking, I'm out here.
Oh yeah, I should have said that. The first question everyone gets asked is, "She Who Dares Wins." Can you tell me about when you've dared and won?
Oh blimey! Yeah, I was listening to your podcast and I'm thinking, oh crikey! Do you know what? I think probably it's maybe just a more general life thing of maybe my brain is wired a bit differently, but it's just about just cracking on.
Yeah.
And I think when I look back on some of the things that I've done in my life, I look back on them now and I go, did I really do that thing? And I think it's just about just going, actually, I'm just going to go and give it a go anyway. Some really sort of madcap sort of things. And just, yeah, just crack on. I think someone said that in another podcast. Of just being a bit brave and just doing the stuff anyway. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's been times in my life when things have maybe floored me a bit, and maybe for other people it might have then come to define them.
Ah, okay.
But it's just about like just cracking on and getting back in the saddle again, because like we only have one shot at this life.
I know.
And it's mega short. Mm-hmm. And it speeds up. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it speeds up.
No,
you get to 40 and then you go, it's going quite fast, and then you get to 50 and you go, oh my god, it's Christmas again, what? So yeah, so blink and you miss it, so just crack on. There you go.
I love that. So your story then, I have seen, obviously, you're a cold water swimmer, but how did you get to that point?
How did I get to that point? So, yeah, so I'm now a cold water swim coach. Between you and me, there's not so much swimming. There's more just getting people into cold water for mental and physical well-being.
Okay.
It's not so much about, I'm going to teach you how to get your front crawl better and get your, you know, arm in a better place and all that kind of stuff. It really is just about getting people into cold water. And I'm, as much as anyone else, just still learning it all, even though it's been 9 years. I got into it I moved to Cumbria from Bristol. So I'm from the northeast of Scotland. So when I was wee, I used to get put into, you know, bodies of water and get swimming in the North Sea and stuff. And which is like the hardest thing. No, the North Sea is the coldest body of water anywhere in the world. Uh-huh. I can tell you that right now. But so when I was wee, I used to do a little bit of like getting in the sea, but not any kind of like good swimming, like with like, you know, in a club or anything like that. Moved to Bristol, having lived in the Alps. And when I moved to Bristol, I was doing a lot of climbing, working for a rock climbing firm, everything was to do with climbing. And my husband and I moved back to the Lake District to be nearer the motherland, but also to be nearer the rocks, because living in Bristol was great, but we wanted to be. So we moved to the Lake District, and it rains a lot. You know, it's kind of the clues in the name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought, right, there's over 200 bodies of water. Mm-hmm. Let's just give this a go. And so I didn't know anything about cold water.
Right.
And how good it can be for us.
Right.
And so I found myself standing on the shores of Windermere by the boathouse. And it was like a sort of early autumn morning. And I had my surfing wetsuit on. Surfing wetsuits are totally shit for swimming in.
Right.
But I stood there with my surfing wetsuit on to going to give this like cold water swimming thing a go. And there were about four or five women that came along beside me. And they got into the water, but they weren't wearing wetsuits. And they were wearing really little, you know, kind of racy,
right,
little swimming costumes, giggling and laughing and everything. And they got into the water and I was like, oh my God, I promise you, I thought they were going to put goose fat on.
I
was waiting. Well, you know, you see people like maybe doing swimming the channel, covering themselves. And I was like, why? I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's what I thought. And they got into the water without the goose fat, had a lovely little swim. We're in the water for ages. I got into the water in my wetsuit, dipped my toe in the water and was like, oh my God, this is like the coldest thing. I got out after about a second and was then tangled up in my wetsuit. And they were like, look, you don't need a wetsuit in these temperatures. You're just in the water for not that long, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And so I, from that point, I thought, well, maybe what they are saying has got some sort of, you know, truth to it. But honestly, that night I opened my computer and I did Google death by hypothermia. And then I also Googled, do pike bite? Because there were like lots of pike fishermen that used to fish on the shore. I basically Googled all the death stuff,
right,
and realised that, you know, I had to be in the water for quite a long time to get hypothermia, blah, blah, blah. The next day I went back, dipped my toe in the water, and it was really hard. Mm-hmm. I ditched the wetsuit.
No one around this time, right?
No one around this time, just me. And I dipped my toe in the water and I was like, honestly, this is just too hard. This is just really, really too hard. And I was a bit despondent. Went back home. And then the next day, sort of went back. And over the course of then the next couple of weeks, realised that the hardness is the bit that never really sort of diminishes, but you just learn to handle the hardness.
Right.
So that's where the nuggets of like awesomeness come from with the cold water stuff.
Right.
Is that it's hard, it's always going to be hard, but by doing hard things, you can then do more hard things more easily.
So it's about breaking through. It's not going to get easier. You just learn how to live and to handle
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Right.
And there's loads of like good stuff that comes from that. So fast forward to now. Now you can't move for people in dry robes and you can't move for people that are going to tell you about how great cold water is for well-being and blah, 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 blah. And it's great.
Right. I was just going to say that 9 years ago, we were pre kind of real social media of everyone doing these cold water dips.
Oh, 100%.
Wim Hof was pre Wim Hof?
100%. 100%.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So
Wim Hof at that time had just done... you know, was featured in Vice magazine.
Right.
There were some things about him, but the whole cold water stuff for well-being hadn't been researched at all. There really wasn't much. Hippocrates back in like 14, whatever it was, 450, was saying, yeah, cold water is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the science really has only just started to catch up, literally in the last sort of, you know, 10 years. There's been lots of bits and bobs of research, but really pulling this together.
Oh.
You can buy cold plunge baths yeah. now. You can buy cold plunge baths, which are regulated to stay cold all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't move for beardy men being forceful, getting yeah. into water and going, whoa, whatever, and all that stuff. And also there's a community around it, which people sought after COVID. People got pulled away from their own understanding of what is risk. We were told, you know, you can't do this and you can't do this and you must do this and blah, blah, blah. And what's happened since COVID is that people have discovered that this is something which is free. It's something which is accessible to a lot of people. And the water doesn't care what your shape you are
yeah.
or what age you are or what ability you have. It just asks you to be there.
Yeah.
So people come for the cold, but they stay for the community. Unless you're getting into a tub in your garden, which is you come for the cold and then you just are there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there's so much, there seems to be so much more involved than just getting into the water. From what I see, there's the community, there's being with other people, there's sharing that experience.
Totally.
And like I say, I guess it's quite hard when you see lots of people with just a bath in the garden and then it's like that psych of going out and doing that on your own is quite hard.
Yeah.
Would you still recommend that or?
Yeah, so essentially all of these vehicles, I mean, it sounds like I'm knocking Wim Hof, I'm not. All of these vehicles are just, they're all doors to the same room, mm-hmm. which is cold. And you can get to it by sitting in a cold plunge tub in your garden. You can get to it by joining a big, you know, swim group. You can get to it by turning your shower cold. You can get to it by, you know, doing Wim Hof breathing. They're all doors, and it's just whichever door
you
want to walk through. And all of them have got, some of them, in I think, are probably better ways to get into it than other ways, but they're all the same door. And once you're there, you're there. The door, the cold is like, it's like the sort of destination. Right. Once you're there, you're just there. Right. You know, and it doesn't really matter if you're staying in for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, or, you know, people are going to want to Strava it and people are going to want to force it into being colder and longer and harder and da, 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 da. But we don't need to do that to get the benefits, you know. And that's what I think is, like, there's a lot to be said for the community side of it.
Right.
But lots of people don't have access to clean bodies of water. I'm really lucky where I live in the Lake yeah. District. I just can turn my head and there's a nice body of water to get into. And so starting with turning your shower a wee bit cold
yeah.
is a good way to start.
Right.
It's also really hard.
I've tried that. I think I got about a week. I did a week. My brother's been doing it for a long time and he chats about the benefits of it. And
yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm doing some marathon training at the moment and I'm starting to realise the importance of how that can help recovery.
Totally.
It is hard. It's a hard thing, the psychological, just, I'm feeling pants today, just keep it warm, stick to the cold. But yeah, it's a good start for someone who doesn't, like you say, have access to bodies of water or just wants to start.
And with the cold shower, don't start with your head, take the handle off and start with your feet.
Okay.
And work your way up.
Right. Nice.
It's a nicer, more gentle way to do it.
Right,
and okay. I think, so that's a nice thing. Just turn it a little bit cold. It doesn't need to be super cold.
Right.
You know, there's loads of benefits that you can get from just having a little bit of a cold shower. End it cold. Don't turn it back to hot.
Okay.
End it cold. Get a tub. You can buy tubs that are relatively inexpensive that you could just sit in your garden and you can get into one of them. And this hydrostatic pressure, this being submerged in water, is going to give you some more benefits. And then once, if you're up for that, then there is something very powerful about being arsed to get into your car and drive to mm-hmm. the lake or the river or the beach and meet up with the other people. And all of that process is actually rewiring our brains to make it into a sort of ritual and
yeah.
being part of it. But they're all great. You know, the cold is something that we have lived with, and it's only in the last sort of 50 years that we've gone, I don't want to be cold. I want to have my heated body warmer and my mittens that have got some electric device in them, and I want to have like 5,000 tog jackets. We're not meant to be that warm.
Yeah.
We're just not.
Yeah.
You know, and this leaning into being a bit cold is so beneficial for us. And I am definitely like the poster person for that, because I used to be wrapped in down 365 days of the year. I was like, I am not moving. I'm not, and I'm a rock climber, right? I'm a way better climber than I am a cold water or ice swimmer. I used to be wrapped in down all the time. And the thought of getting into cold body water was, honestly, get fuck. I'm not doing that. There's no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And it's the most shocking thing that I'm now, you know, sitting here chatting to you about the benefits of getting cold. Like, what's that all about?
Someone said to me, you were the godfather of cold water, which I completely agree with. But going back to the day where that first experience for you,
yeah,
getting into Windermere, and then learning about the benefits, like, did you find your tribe? Like, what happened after that day? I'm interested to know. What kept you coming back?
So what kept me coming back was the cold. You know, and what I realized is that there's a whole world out there of cold water stuff that I didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. You know, international ice swimming competitions have been around forever. There's people that are doing the cold water stuff, you know, far better than I am. And this whole world was like sort of out there that I didn't even know about. And for me, I met up with, there was another couple of women and a couple of guys, there was a guy and another couple of women that were like, sort of took me under their wing, and we were motivated by cake, you know, of course. So it was like, you know, who's making the cake in the morning? And we'd meet every Friday and we'd go for a swim and we'd swim out to the buoy and back. And that was how we did it. And then from there, it just grew. But the reason that the ice stuff got, was I was more attracted to actually physically getting into ice, was that I would love going to bodies of water that were frozen in places where I'd climbed.
Okay,
so basically this connection to climbing came in, and I really liked going to seek out bodies of water that were up high in places where there were crags that I would climb at. So okay. In the summer, I'd be climbing, and then I'd be looking at a body of water going, that one looks like it might freeze in the winter. And then in the winter, that first year that I swam over winter, myself and a friend of mine, James, would go and we'd look for bodies of water that were frozen to break the lid off, get into and do the thing. And it was like, you did what? And that was the beginning of my journey into really sort of more adventure swimming, or finding these bodies of water that were interesting, different, you know, this horizontal, sorry, landscape, you know, that was liquid, then turns to, you know, solid. And there's something really beautiful about climbing somewhere in the summer and then knowing that in the winter you could be making a hole in this body of water in the landscape. And there's something quite sort of ephemeral about it all. It's so transient, you know. This ice can be there today and it's not there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's that
capturing
one,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
That one if experience.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how I sort of got into it. And then over the years, I've just been an ice hunter in the Lake District, looking for bodies of water to get to swim in. So even today, it's kind of snowing. And I'm like,
I need to get to the ice.
I need to get to back to Kent. I need to get back to Cumbria. Luckily, I've had a little bit of a cold. So at the moment, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to get into the water. But yeah.
Okay, so is this a myth now? So I'm hopefully going to come and do some proper cold water swimming with you. But I, a few days ago, decided to get into an outdoor swimming pool, not heated. Mm-hmm. And I will show you the video afterwards. There's a lot of and a lot of, am I going to die? But afterwards, I spoke...
It's a standard.
Okay,
it's standard for most people. It's okay, like good. Death doesn't happen and people are so happy.
Yes.
I think that's why people like it the first time. They're like, I didn't die.
Yeah, this is it. Well, there was a woman...
I hear that a lot.
Oh, good. Good, it's not just me. As I slowly went into the pool, I was slowly getting out the pool and my husband was filming me, obviously with social media. And this woman next to me, lovely lady, was like, just start to swim. And it was that split second I was like, okay. And I just started, and if it wasn't for her, I'd have got back out. And I did two laps and she was talking to me, giving me a bit of advice, and then I got back out. But afterwards, on the drive home, I actually got back to the office and I phoned my brother and I said, I did like kind of my first experience of that. And he was like, yeah. He was like, and how do you feel now? And I said, well, it's a good 4 or 5 hours after. I said, and I feel like, you know, like when you've been to the gym and then you've like, yeah, I can. And he was like, oh, and I don't know whether this is a myth, but he was like, apparently they did a test on cocaine users and that the dopamine, you know, is a great hit. And then obviously it drops off. And he was like, cold water swimming gives you that hit, but sustains that hit for quite a huge amount of time. And actually for the rest of the day, I felt, I don't know whether, again, it was just because I'd spoken to him, but I was like, oh, there's something in this. Like, I felt something. Is that true?
It's totally true. So you're like stimulating the same parts in your brain that are stimulated the same as when you're taking drugs.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's loads of things now which are happening in our brains and our bodies when we're getting into cold water, which are only now beginning to be understood. There's lots of... The most powerful way that we can hack into our nervous system is with the breath. You know, we can heighten ourselves by breathing quickly, and we can calm ourselves down by breathing slowly. And by getting into cold water and learning how to control our breath in that moment, we can then become very calm. So we can, when we get into cold water at first, we're like, oh my goodness, like you were saying. But over time, if you can learn to just center yourself in your breath, calm your breath down, getting into the water in that calm state can then calm our autonomic nervous system down. And we can then leave the water having had a very calming experience, which seems counter to like getting in and going, oh my goodness, like, oh my goodness. And what people do when they get into cold water for the first time, and I guarantee that you would have done this, for those of people that are watching, you can watch what I'm doing, but basically people get into the water, they will pull their shoulders up to their ears, they'll clench their hands, they'll clench their jaw, and they'll make themselves kind of smaller,
yeah.
Right? And they're also going to hold their breath. So all that's doing, if you think about it in a really simple way, is telling your brain that there's something which is really scary happening, okay? Like watching a scary film. Oh, my goodness. Close your eyes. Oh, my goodness. By entering the water slowly, and try this next time. Put your hands into the water. Make the space between the end of your shoulder and your ear wider. Relax your jaw. Calm your breath down. Try to breathe more into your belly. All of those things physically are just signaling to your brain that it's actually okay. There's nothing to be scared about. We've got skin on our hands and on our faces called glabrous skin, which means it doesn't have any hair. It's got a really amazing way to like indicate whether stuff is too hot or too cold. So we're just putting our hands into the water. We're just saying, oh, there's a coldness coming, you know. And in that moment, you can then enter the water far calmer. So no screaming, no shouting, no saying the water's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're saying the water's cold, it's like saying, don't think of the grey elephant. You know, you think of the grey elephant. So we're not looking for the cold. It's just an experience. And all of these little tools can make the cold water experience into far more than just getting into cold water. It becomes a meditation. It becomes a felt sense of, I'm here right now in this present moment and it's okay and I'm centering myself in the breath. So next time you go, resist the urge to swim immediately and just be present in the water. And once you calm your breath down, then you can swim. Okay. And that's actually really important, because if you start swimming before your breath is under control, you can really run the risk of getting yourself a little bit caught up. The cold shock response will kick in. That is the cold shock response. And you only need about 3 to 6 sessions in about 2 weeks for that to be blunted. So if we went swimming this week today, and we went tomorrow, and then we went again in 2 days' time or 3 days' time, that bit will be completely blunted. And the reason why people find getting into cold water hard is that they don't go in quick succession. They go once a month.
So it's always just going hard.
It's a bit like if we want to make some gains at the gym and we only go once a month, we're probably not going to make the gains. But yeah. If we go, right, okay, this is, you know, we're going to go 3 times this week, then we will make those gains, and you will, that cold shock response will be blunted. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the cold as much, but over time you care less about the fact that it's cold, because you know you're going to get the benefits of the dopamine and the serotonin and the regulation of the cortisol. You're going to be flushing your body, your lymphatic system, your circulation. You're going to get that sort of swimmer's high. And you don't need ages. You don't need to be in the water for ages to get that. Obviously, if you then add in the fact that you're going to do some swimming, you're going to get the benefits from the swimming. But lots of the people that I'm coaching now can't swim.
I can't swim. Like, as in, I can. Yeah. I could swim the length of a pool, but I'm awful. Like, I'm not a strong swimmer.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the fears that, maybe, I don't know, you probably know from speaking to people, is that a big fear for people that want to do it but don't necessarily try? Because
I think people think that you have to be, I think people think cold water swimming, they focus on the swimming bit and they're like, oh, but I'm not a good swimmer, I'm only doing breaststroke. Breaststroke is the winter swimming stroke that is that was traditionally the stroke that people would do, because you wouldn't put your face into the water. Okay. So if you're just a breaststroke swimmer and you're just a not very strong swimmer, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. It's completely allowed. It's like people talk about, oh, I'm not really a runner. And it's like, you've got 2 legs.
Yeah, just
in fact, you don't even need 2 legs. You've got, you know, you've got your trainers on and you're going and putting 1 foot in front of the other, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Call yourself a runner. And it's the same in the climbing world. It really boils my piss when people are like, I'm not really a climber, I only top rope. And it's like, you're a climber. Mm-hmm. You're completely a valid climber. Don't let society tell you that you're not. If you want to be a cold water swimmer and you want to wear your bubble hat and you want to just get in and have a giggle and let the waves lift you up and down for a bit, that's totally fine. Definitely it's helpful if you can swim 25 meters breaststroke, that's fine. Learn to swim. Swimming is good. You know, I'm definitely not saying it's fine if you actually do not know how to swim. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people I take into the water have never swum before, and they're just coming for that connection with themselves in the water.
I just wanted to take a moment to say a massive thank you to this week's episode sponsor, Extra Tough Boots. Discover the resilience of Extra Tough Boots, where top-notch quality meets unparalleled comfort. Born on the wild seas of Alaska almost 75 years ago, Extra Tough range of 100% waterproof footwear has established itself as the go-to brand for durable and reliable footwear. Trusted by commercial fishermen, pro surfers, ice water swimmers, and outdoor enthusiasts alike, Extra Tough Boots truly are Alaskan proven, built for all. I too can personally say that Extra Tough Boots are awesome. My experience of wearing them is just ultimate comfort, and they truly can be put to the test in the outdoor environment. So head on over to the Extra Tough website at www.extratough.co.uk and use the promo code 24 She Who Dares Wins 25 for 25% off site wide. That's incredible. Thank you, Extra Tough. Now let's get back to the show.
You know,
and what's that like when you see people that you coach, that process of seeing them start to enjoy it? Like, what does that do for you? Is that a big...
Oh my God, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's so beautiful because it's like you've just pulled back the curtain.
Right.
And it's like, here, this is now, you can just be here.
Yeah.
And we're 80% water. You know, we're meant to be in bodies of water. We're meant to be in nature. We're meant to be able to know what it feels like to have raindrops on our skin.
Yeah.
We're meant to be able to feel the wind on one side of our face and to hear the leaves, you know, blowing in the trees. And we've just forgotten that because we're too busy on our Stravas.
Yeah.
We're too busy on our phones. Mm. You know, we're too busy, like, somewhere else, not where we are.
Yeah.
We're always somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
And I struggle with that. I completely struggle with that. Yeah. And I can see the beauty in getting back to, like, say, what we should be doing.
Yeah, and just, like, you know, just, like, take your shoes off and just feel what the shore feels like and don't be scared of that. And that's the bit, and that little bit of just being a wee bit brave and turning up. And the great thing about swim communities across the UK, whether they're dippers or swimmers or training to do, you know, the length of Windermere, generally the community is really accepting. Nice. And warming. And, you know, I've swum with so many different communities across the UK, and it's brilliant because it's like, anyone free? Yeah. First thing in the morning, you're standing there in your pants with like two ex-prison officers, just like, morning. All right, great. Okay. You get into the water and you have a hug and then you get out the water and it's like, oh my God, that's so cool. How you couldn't do that playing tennis.
Yeah.
It would just be a bit weird.
Yeah, no, it totally would.
You know, or like running or playing hockey or something. You just wouldn't do that. But with swimming, it's like, yeah, cool. I saw your bum there. All right. I'm just a massive perv.
No, but it is. It's almost letting go of all those insecurities. Because you would think, if I was saying this the other day to a friend, I was like, let's get a bunch of mates together and go. I think there's a farm out near Leeds that's got a lake and you can go and swim. And I was like, we'll do that moonlit on Friday night, bunch of us. And then afterwards I was thinking, well, actually, they're probably thinking there's a lot of hang-ups with mums, like body image and all that kind of thing. And I just wish there wasn't, because I think it would open up so many things.
But you know what's so awesome, right? In lockdown, I set up a group for helping people find water for themselves for mental well-being. And we had two psychotherapists that we worked with, and it was a free thing. And it was like, come on, we just need to do something here because this is a disaster, what's happening for people's mental well-being in the UK. And there were some women that turned up to that session in dressing gowns, mm-hmm. frilly, you know, swimming costumes that they'd had for like 100 years. And they were getting down to the water and sort of sliding in at the back, trying to make themselves as small as possible. Mm-hmm. But those sessions saved them, and they helped them from the brink,
right.
You know, and it was hugely powerful for them. Fast forward to now, and they're at the lake every single Sunday, prancing around, getting photographs. They're posting their stuff on social media. And these are not spring chickens.
Mm.
And it's like, honestly, just give less shits about this stuff. And it's easy to say, but once you get down to the water, you realize it's everyone. The skinny girl mm-hmm. is just as much having a struggle with her body image as the lady who's a plus size, who can't quite find a swimming costume to fit her. And it's like, no, we're all here. Let's just show up and get in the water. And the showing up becomes the glue for it all. And people just don't care. And that's the thing which is so sad, is that people are just still so hung up. But once you get down to the water, you realise, oh God, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It just doesn't matter. And if you can get something from it, which is space for you, and it's your only truth in your day, which is not when you're worrying about your kids or your, you know, whatever, if it's just that space, then just give into it a bit more. And that's just like, wow. And it's free.
And it's powerful.
Kind of pretty much free.
Yeah.
But it's not like a membership where you have to be, you know.
Yeah, there's no warm David Lloyd hot
exactly no there's
need.
Not there's none of that
we don't need
and
that.
Your pants will blow away, you know, and you the dog might come and eat your food, and or a dog might wee on your bag or whatever, you know, there's all of that stuff, and all the dog walkers will be like going, you're crazy, and you go, yes I am, you know. And there's a reason why you can't move for so many cold water swimmers nowadays, is because it is so powerful, and it is just a case of just start. And some days you're going to be like, I can't do this. But actually, by starting, is just start.
Yeah,
you know, and it's transformational for men as well as women. You know, it's like it's been looked like it's this thing just for women of a certain age, but it's almost more powerful in a lot of ways
for both
for the guys that are doing it.
Yeah,
because toxic masculinity.
Oh,
is
it's
this
crazy.
Thing, you know,
yeah, it's crazy,
and it's great for the guys as well because they're like they're going, oh, cool. I don't have to have a six pack to be doing this.
Just get in and enjoy the benefits.
Just crack on, yeah, just crack on.
So you definitely come across as someone that is just like, fuck it, let's do this. Which a lot of women that sit opposite me on this couch kind of fit that remit. We talked briefly about you kind of like your transition from climbing into cold water. But from an early onset, did you always kind of have this mindset of adventure, discovery? Where did that come from? You were telling me, you were just about to start telling me pre-recording. I was like, save that for the podcast, about you working and then just thinking, fuck it, and going off to Africa.
Yeah. So, well, I think it's that thing of like, maybe my brain was just a wee bit wired different, sort of undiagnosed ADHD. but when I think back on it now, I was like 19. I'd gone to university. I was at art school in Edinburgh, studying town and country planning. Part of the Scottish degree system is you do, well, for my degree, it was like 2 years, a year out, and then another 2 years. So my year out, I went and worked. I got a placement in Edinburgh for a construction company called Morrison Construction. And I was an assistant to the land buyer. It was at the time when there was a big global recession. Land wasn't being bought anymore. And I was watching, there used to be a program on TV called Pebble Mill at One. It was like back in the day, it was like a lunchtime on TV. And there was a guy on there talking about how he wanted to get a crew of people together. I'm going to shorten this down because it's quite a long story. He wanted to get a crew of people together to go to the border between Cameroon and the Congo Basin to go and look for this dinosaur that had been spotted called the Mikele Mbembe. And the Mikele Mbembe had been last seen in the Second World War by some soldiers in roaming the forest. And it was meant to be a very small little, almost like a diplodocus, like a little sort of, yeah, dinosaur. And he wanted a team of people to go to the border to look for this. It was like a little expedition. I wrote in, who writes? I wrote in to Pebble Mill to say I would like to be part of this team. So fast forward, went down to the selection in the Peak District, got chosen. There were going to be 20 of us going to go and look for this dinosaur that was still meant to be in existence. But when it came to us actually leaving to go to Cameroon in West Africa, there was only me and 9 guys because for whatever reason, all the women had
dropped out.
So it was me and 9 guys. So I realized I didn't want to be the weakest link. So I trained really hard and it was a bit of like a montage, you know, I was like in Edinburgh doing running and getting as fit as I could be, navigation and all this kind of stuff. Went to Africa and spent a month in the jungle on the border between the rainforest and the border between Cameroon and the Congo Basin with these 9 guys, 2 of which were ex-SCS, ex-forces. And it was basically jungle training or sort of, you know, sort of tough terrain training. But I did that on my year out. So basically working for Morrison Construction, house building recession hit. I was doing no work in the company. It was like just, I was photocopying stuff and it was just rubbish. Right. And that's when I said, look, I'd quite like to just take a month and a half off. And so I sacked off this year out that I was meant to be doing as part of my degree. And I went to Africa. And funnily enough, we didn't find the dinosaur.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What a gut. But it was a really amazing experience. Quite gnarly. Three of the guys got full-blown malaria.
Oh, wow.
One of them ended up in a field hospital. I walked back to... I mean, there's just so much about that trip, which is like a loop back now going, eh? I did that? Because it was like 1990... Eight. So, you know, the internet, I remember that the internet was around, but it was like, this is never going to take off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I had a Walkman with cassettes.
Yeah.
I mean, just to free, you know, like 1998 to me seems like not that long ago. It was a really long time ago. And I think so that kind of like, you know, maybe just going, fuck it. Yeah, let's give this a go. Probably was like born into me from an earlier age.
Just give that a crack
and just give it a go.
And then how did the climbing come about? Because you said that you then worked for a climbing company, you were in climbing, doing climbing. And again, this is really interesting to me as well, having worked in construction and then gone into several different fields or experiences where it's been male dominated. That's kind of, you followed the same kind of curve.
Same curve. Like, I got my degree, didn't want to go into my degree because basically I wanted to study art. That was what I wanted to do. But at the time, my parents were like, you know, you have to do something which is going to give you a proper job. You're never going to make it as an artist. And what I should have said was, of course, I'm never going to make it as an artist if I don't study art. But it was like, no, go and do town planning. So got my degree and then just fell into retail. And I worked in corporate retail for 8 years, went to France, lived in France for a year, taught myself to snowboard badly, broke myself quite a lot over there, and then moved back to Bristol and then started working in outdoor retail. And that's how I started working for this rock climbing.
Were you a climber before?
I knew I'd learned to climb in France.
Okay.
And I was one of these people that was like, let's all leave the crag now because that girl is really unsafe. I was honestly, I'm so embarrassed about how how dangerous I was. I had no idea.
Oh, really?
And I look back and I go, I would have hated to have been at the crag climbing with me because I was literally, I would get to the top of the route and I'd be like, if you have to re-thread, the chain to then, and I'd be like, talking to us, so which way do I tie the thing? And they'd be like, tie the thing going through from the left to the right, make sure it's back on your harness. And I'd be like, I think it's okay. I mean, honestly,
it was
so bad. I'm so embarrassed about how I learned to climb. It was 100% not how you meant to learn to climb. But loved it and loved, you know, moving over rock. I was never really a sporty kind of person. So this was a way for me to play in an adventurous way outside. Moved back to Bristol and fell in with the best climbers in the world.
Wow, okay.
And basically I learned from the best climbers in the world. And they took me under their wing.
Okay.
And that's how I learned. And that was really great because it was like, actually, we're going to be teaching you. So my idea of where good was slightly skewed because I started climbing at a much harder grade than most normal people do. Because I was learning with these people that were just like, yeah, just you can do that. And then I learned properly how not to die. Oh, God. Honestly, I'm so embarrassed. And that's how I got to do the work. And then I worked for a rock climbing brand for a couple of years, and I was the only female sales rep.
Which is really shocking to me. Yeah. I don't know why I presumed climbing was quite 50-50.
It is now, and I think, but indoor climbing. I think outdoor climbing is still got a little way to come in terms of the trad climbing. So you've got sport climbing, which is relatively more sort of, I guess, safe. You're just putting in clipping your gear into a pre-placed bolt.
Right.
Trad climbing is more adventurous. You're finding your own way up the rock. You're placing your own gear. You're testing your own gear. If you fall, you're falling on the gear that you've placed.
Right.
So there's a lot more to it. There's a bigger apprenticeship to it. And I think in the trad climbing world, it's probably catching up now. There's probably more women that are doing it. I'd hope so, because I set up a rock climbing festival for women 8 years ago. I bloody well hope that there's more women getting into trad climbing. But yeah, and so in the rock climbing world, like the technical sales stuff, that was me. I was just doing, working for this amazing company, which I love. They're still the last British manufacturer of climbing equipment.
Oh,
they're the Rolls Royce of climbing equipment in the world. And it was a great honour to be part of that, you know, part of that journey. And then I moved to the Lake District, stopped doing that, and went freelance as a cold water pusher.
Never look back.
Never look back.
So. Before we get back into cold water swimming or dipping, just give me some anecdotes of that world in the climbing industry of being the only woman.
Oh, God, where to start? You know when like this sort of Me Too stuff was like all roaring around, and I was just thinking of so many times I'd go into a store. I remember going into a store in, I probably shouldn't say where.
Somewhere
in the UK, and the guy just looking at me and just saying, well, I can see why you were hired. You're a lot more, you're a lot more pleasing on the eye than Ian, who was the last sales rep. And then basically before I'd even started going into the technical aspects of the kit I was wanting to sell to him, he just wanted to know my climbing CV. How hard did I climb? Where did I climb? And then sort of testing me on names of places and throwing them into conversation.
Like you'd lie about.
And like, just go away. Has this got anything to do with how much discount I can give you and how amazing this product is and all that kind of stuff? And it was that stuff daily. Right. You know? And
did that ever get you down, or was that seen as a challenge?
Do you know what? I didn't really... It annoyed me, but it was sort of a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, my face is here, you're talking to my tits. Like, just, but also...
About climbing equipment.
But also, it's a little bit like, I don't know if you've ever worked in bars or restaurants.
Yes.
So I loved being a barmaid. Mm-hmm. I didn't like working in a restaurant.
Same here.
Right.
I almost got sacked because I was so bad.
So bad. Mm-hmm. But there's something really powerful. If you're a barmaid or bar lady, whatever, bar person, you've got power.
Yes.
Right. You don't have power if people are wanting, can you reheat my chicken again? Da, da, da. Can you get me another fork, whatever? But you've got power. Because you're like, I'm not going to serve you.
Yeah.
And I can see you waving your £20 note there and I'm just going to ignore you. And that's just got so much power. And so it was kind of the same in the sales world. It was like, listen, if you're going to be a dick with me, I can be a dick to you.
Yeah, you're going to get shit prices.
So you're going to get shit prices. I'm not even going to bother showing you the rest of the range because you're just being a knob. And so it's about flipping it into being like, okay, well, that's the thing and more for you. But I think, you know, I maybe should have cared more. But I was just like, oh, you're just a, you know, you're just a dick. So that's fine.
I think when you're younger, I shared similar experiences. I worked in the like electrical kind of wholesale selling stuff. And yeah, the same thing. Like you walk in as that instant, oh, it's, and then the comments come. And in construction, it kind of like fades out a little bit as soon as you've been on site. But it's,
yeah,
there's always that deep breath, isn't there, of...
Here we go.
And it's still happening. It's still existing in many industries. I think we are getting better because of social media and awareness and Me Too. It does make me laugh. There's some good stories that come from
and there's some good stories,
but
it's still, like, even when I was doing the rock climbing festival, I had a guy who's really high up in the rock climbing industry in the UK, or the outdoor industry in the UK, taking me to one side at this big sort of film festival, saying, why is there a need for a women's climbing festival? what about the man's climbing festival? And it was just like, honestly,
been there for how many
there
months?
there are climbing festivals for, and this, and also our climbing festival is not just for women, it's for anyone. It's just got a more women's slant to it. Mm-hmm. Because women will learn in a different way.
Yes.
And it's like, so just like in your men's festival is there.
Yeah.
It's just there and it's been there forever.
Yeah.
So I just think a little bit of like sort of balance.
Yeah.
Is it's like, well, what are you scared of?
Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Just
ultimately.
Come. Yeah. Come if you want to.
Yeah.
The guys that come love it.
Yeah.
So bite me. So, yeah. And it's kind of funny because now I'm like trying to help more guys get into cold water for well-being. And I've set up this men's group for men to get into the water. And I think if everyone was just a little bit softer and understand that underneath everyone, there's still a heart which is beating, mm-hmm. I think we would all be a little bit happier. It doesn't need to be so entrenched, you know, and I think people just need to understand a little bit more about where people are coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's definitely space for women's only thing and men's only things, but I think a lot of the time there's a lot more that's similar between us in life than is different between us. And I think we need to celebrate those things more, like, we're all struggling.
That's it, isn't it?
We're all walking each other home. Do you know, it's that thing.
Yeah, everyone's got shit in their... Like, I used to think back to that in construction where there were guys that were shouting and I used to be like, I hate you, like, you're a horrible person. And then you actually dig a little bit deeper and you realise the stories behind how they are. And I imagine with something like cold water swimming where you say... And I guess climbing where you have to be in that mindset of pushing everything out because you've got to concentrate on where you're at.
Yeah.
Has a huge impact on people.
Totally. And the thing is that everyone's a little bit scared. Mm. You know, when you're climbing, everyone's a little bit scared. And it's about, well, let's look at what that's about to get better. Everyone's a little bit nervous when they get down to the water. Everyone, you know, even the most confident person might be a bit like, oh, I don't know if I really feel it today or... whatever. And just understanding that there's a bit of empathy there. Everyone's the same. Having a bit more compassion with each other, I think, is something that we need to do more of instead of this really entrenched, we've had it harder. Yeah, we probably have. But also, that guy over there is probably having a really hard time as well.
Yeah.
So just be a bit kinder. If we could all just be a bit kinder. I think social media is not great for that bit.
Yeah.
It's just easy for, you know, it's biased to... for people who are wanting to shout louder about things that are wrong, that gets pushed up the algorithm. And I think that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you put in words like kind and love and compassion, the algorithm goes...
Yeah, I know. What
but if you put in
word,
death,
reality.
Murder, hate, violence, it goes, yeah, give me more of that shit. So I'm never going to make it as a... I'm never going to make it, really. I'm just going to keep doing the stuff that I'm doing in my own little way.
Sad reality, isn't it?
I know, exactly. So, yeah.
And what is... what kind of is next for you? I love this vision of you. And you do. You say you go out and find these spots with the ice and you're chipping away. And growing this community, what's kind of next for you? Like, where do you want to take...
There's some really exciting things that are happening in the cold water world. I'm going to be part of I'm running a trial for the NHS up in Cumbria, which is for cold water, social prescribing. So cold water for well-being. So that's going to be a really interesting project to be part of, running that from September onwards. It's like an 8-week program, to help more people to just find the cold in whatever that looks like for them. So I'm really excited to be part of that program. And then personally, I'm going to be doing a lot more climbing this year, which is exciting. I am a better climber than I am a sort of cold water
really
wad, but I'm going to be doing a bit more of that, a bit more adventure climbing, new routing, that kind of stuff in Scotland, which will be I'm really excited about doing. But in terms of the cold stuff, I would like it to get colder. I'd like it to continue to be cold. I like there to be more ice, which is easy to find. I think I just live in the wrong country.
I was going to say, do you go, like, in terms of, are you doing trips abroad?
Do you know what? I've never gone anywhere to swim where there's reliable ice. Okay. I mean, I'm triangulating on my phone. I have every single weather forecast going.
Right.
Finding ice is really hard living in the north of England. Triangulating weather forecasts for the way that the wind's going to form, because it can be super windy and really cold and the ice won't form. Mm. It can be, you know, it's impossible to find. I think I just need to go and live in Newfoundland or something.
Right, where it's permanent.
Where it's like, yeah, just I have ice all the time. I'd be like, okay, maybe I'd get bored. I don't know.
Maybe that's part of the challenge, is to define.
It's a bit like a tornado hunter or something, you know. If I went somewhere that there were tornadoes, I'd be like living their life. But so I'd quite like to maybe go and find some nice bodies of water to get into. But there is something about magic about doing it here.
I feel that. I feel from just talking to you, like, I feel excited about, you know, getting the experience to go in the water. And you touched on it briefly, but anyone out there who is tempted and wants to do it, what would you say to them?
Do you know what? I would just say, just start, and don't wait until you feel more confident, mm-hmm. or don't wait until you think that you need to have the gear. You don't. You don't need to have any of the kit. Mm-hmm. You literally don't. A pair of water shoes will help make it more comfortable on your feet. Turn the shower a little bit colder is a great start, just to see what that feels like. But even if you wanted to start, is just like, go outside maybe without a bigger jacket on. See what it feels like to go outside into your garden without your shoes on. Like, there's a place that everyone can start at. And it might be that you can start a lot further down the line. But there is a way to lean into the cold which will be right for everyone. And it might be to sleep with your bedroom window open. Yeah. It might be to turn your shower down. It might be that you're already at that point and you can just maybe go to your local outdoor Lido. But just start, and know that the first couple of times are going to be uncomfortable and wild, and understand that that is okay. It's not going to feel easy, but by doing hard things, in a way which is from your own, you know, your own volition, will then totally cascade into other areas of your life. You'll be able to breathe better when you're speaking to your boss. You'll be able to harness that when you're stepping into that boardroom. You'll be able to take all of these learnings from the water and push them into other areas of your life, so you can be more present for your kids, for your partner, when you're standing in the queue, you know, getting frustrated. It can just calm everything down. And that's amazing. So just start. Just start in whatever way it is for you.
It'll be life-changing.
Yeah, you won't regret it. Yeah. Well, and you'll be in the mystery aisle. You'll be in the mystery aisle in Aldi or Lidl, whichever one it is, looking for the axes. You will, I promise. I promise you will. You'll be like, I never knew I needed an axe in my life, and now I have four. And that's true. I have four axes now for different kinds of ice. And you'll be, honestly, I can't believe that I've had such a change from what I was doing to now. And it's like, I will be continuing to do this forever. I love getting new people into cold water. It's the gift that keeps giving, and it's such a ride.
I see on your stories on Instagram, on socials, and I'm like, you're really changing people, and it's exciting to see you working with different communities and new people. It's incredible. And I guess I'd say thank you to that, because that is, it's inspiring to see hear. Thank you so much for being an awesome guest. Before we just sign off, I've got something to keep you warm.
Oh, awesome. I love it. I love it.
If you want it to be cold, you can cut the sleeves off. But I got you a little Shudders Winds hoodie there. So maybe when you get out of the water.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
And on behalf of everyone, I want to say thank you for doing what you do, and for sharing your story today. You've been incredible.